What will the Fed do?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Flip a coin. No one knows for sure what the Fed will do today when it meets. Most analysts seem to think that after 17 rate hikes in a row, the Fed will give it a rest. Marketplace's Amy Scott holds the situation up to the light and tells us what she sees.
For more than 2 years now, the Fed has raised interest rates every time it's met. The idea was to rein in economic growth and keep prices in check. Many economists say it's worked. Growth has slowed. The job market is sluggish. Ian Shepherdson with High Frequency Economics says it's time to let up on the brakes.
My concern is that having raised rates 17 times, that the danger is now that perhaps they've gone a little bit too far.
Shepherdson expects the Fed to start cutting rates by early next year. But Lending Tree economist Jim Swinth isn't sure we've seen the last of rate increases. The latest figures show inflation is still a problem.
There's a real risk of throwing the economy into a full-fledged recession, but I think the Fed is more willing to err on the side of doing that versus letting inflation get to such a point that they can't get it under control.
Trouble is, it can take months for inflation to respond to interest rates. So whatever the Fed does today, analysts say we may have to live with higher prices for some time. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
What's a six-letter word for a search engine that seems to be everywhere you turn on the Internet? Google. The search giant has been throwing its weight around a lot lately. Today, the new conquest is the hot social networking site MySpace. Google will pay $900 million to have its little search box on MySpace and other websites owned by News Corp. That's kind of ironic since most MySpace users only left the site to Google something anyway. If you accept the idea of global warming, what's the next step? Well, one idea is finding a way to keep those greenhouse emissions out of the atmosphere. New research out today suggests injecting them into the surface of the planet. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
A lot of research has been done into whether injecting greenhouse gas emissions into the Earth can slow the rate of global warming. But CO2 tends to leak. That is, unless it's stored in deep sea sediments where cold temperatures and intense pressure change the gas's form. Kurt House is with Harvard University.
Then the CO2 is in its liquid phase, and it can actually be denser than the seawater that surrounds it. So it will actually sink rather than rise. And this gives you a kind of extra assurance that the CO2 is permanently stored and will never come back.
House says the U.S. could potentially store all carbon emissions in these sediments, but at a price. And that's what frustrates energy consultant Mark Trexler. He says the U.S. already has more affordable technology to reduce emissions that's going unused.
The problem right now is simply one that we haven't decided we want to do anything about this problem.
Trexler says until the U.S. charges CO2 emitters, there will be little incentive to scale back. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Well, the market slumped with the rise of oil prices, but hopes that the Fed won't raise rates today kept the losses in check. The Dow fell 20 points to 11,219. The Nasdaq was off 12 points at 2072. And the S&P 500 was down 3 points to 1275. This is Marketplace. AmerisourceBergen and Kindred Healthcare are merging. They're combining parts of their companies which provide drugs to institutions like nursing homes. Helen Palmer from the health desk at WGBH says this could be good news for boomers.
Analysts say that institutional pharmacy suppliers will become increasingly important as the baby boomers age. That's because we're a demanding demographic and more services will be delivered in nursing home or home care settings. This merger will create a powerful specialist supplier able to compete with market leader Omnicare. Pharmaceutical analyst David Webster says patients will be the winners.
The consumer is going to get better service, and because of the competition, pricing is not going to accelerate as fast.
Webster says the new Medicare drug benefit, with millions coming from the taxpayer, also drove this consolidation. The merger should cut costs by $30 million, and the combined company expects to earn nearly $2 billion a year. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
The Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a financial services organization providing nearly 3 million members with financial products and services. Thriven.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. We've gotten used to Temptations in the Starbucks line that Well, they go beyond the caffeinated kind. You know, things like music, movies. But if you wanted to read, you've had to bring your own reading material. But in the fall, Starbucks will start selling its first novel, For One More Day, by Mitch Albom. The coffee chain will contribute a buck from the sale of each book to an educational group called Jumpstart. Well, here we go. As we told you earlier, the Fed meets today, and we all get to find out that answer, or the answer to that question everyone's been wondering, will interest rates go up or not? Polls show that a lot of Americans are worried that the economy may be slowing down. Commentator Kevin Hassett thinks the surveys say more about the national character than the national economy.
Polls indicate that America's becoming more anxious. Many observers blame the labor market. In the past, so the story goes, employers cared about their workers and gave them jobs for life. Today, loyalty and job security are things of the past. You're on your own out there. President Clinton introduced this story into the public consciousness in his brilliant 1992 campaign. The whole world has been repeating it ever since. President Bush even told the 2004 Republican convention the same thing. But hold on. Are things really changing so much? If you look at the numbers, they are, but not the way you think. Things are getting better. Much better. 30 years ago, under Jimmy Carter, about 3% of the workforce lost their job every month. About the same percentage found work. Those numbers have declined sharply since then. Today, less than 2% of workers are separated from their job in a given month. The labor market is getting safer. Workers have faced turnover for a long time, and it's better today than it's ever been. So why are we so anxious? I believe that our collective angst has less to do with economics and more to do with our national character. Back when the odds of being unemployed were much higher, we dealt better with the world's challenges. We were, as Harvey Mansfield might put it, more manly. Manliness, the Harvard professor writes in his new book with that title, seeks and welcomes drama and prefers times of war, conflict, and risk. A manly society would be ashamed to admit anxiety in the face of turnover. Today, we wear our angst like a badge of honor. One can almost hear Dana Carvey's crotchety old man character responding to us. You call that job market insecurity? In my day, we had real insecurity, and we liked it. It's kind of embarrassing, really. I shudder to think how we might act if times ever got as bad as they were back in the 50s, 60s, or 70s. The times are getting better, but we are not.
Kevin Hassett is a director of economic policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C. We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Working in the sex industry has its